KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Those who evacuated the beach areas of Hawaii are now being allowed to return home as the threat of a tsunami eases on the islands. The warning coming after one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded hit off Russia's Far East Coast. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says they're still watching the ocean, however.
We still have not seen any wave activity come past the Big Island. That's important. Until we see what happens on the Big Island and the full wraparound of the islands, we won't feel that we are in a position to start seeing and saying that we're kind of in the clear.
All of the west coast of the U.S. is still under an advisory for waves. Police in New York City investigating a second note left by the office shooter this week. Sources describe it as an apology to his parents in Las Vegas. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announcing that the U.K. will join France in recognizing a Palestinian state at the U.N. General Assembly in September if Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire in Gaza. This is ABC News. Price hikes due to tariffs coming from a company that makes a lot of stuff in our homes. Consumer giant Procter & Gamble now says President Trump's tariffs are forcing it to increase prices on about a quarter of all of its products. Investigators in Florida still piecing together exactly what happened in a deadly boat accident in Biscayne Bay when a barge hit a boat from a youth sailing camp.
The captain of the tug and barge involved in the collision has been interviewed.
Right now, we believe the barge was supporting some construction operations in Miami Beach area.
Captain Frank Florio, commander of Coast Guard Sector Miami.
Our investigation needs to confirm that, but as of now, we believe the girls were wearing life jackets.
The counselor, a 19-year-old woman, and a 12-year-old girl were safely pulled to shore.
ABC's Chuck Severson. OpenAI trying to convince kids not to cheat with ChatGPT. It's offering a study mode that will not provide answers, but will instead try to guide students. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line. They're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and, you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickle.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that. But in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a 2-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain here through the day. Our high right around 72 this afternoon. Tonight, rain showers, thunderstorms ending, low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Lisa White, one of the Democratic candidates in the 17th State Senate District for this installment of Broad Appeal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
I'm damn awful tired of dealing with flat forks. Who made flat forks in the first place? They could have cupped it just a little bit, right? No one likes forks. Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks, for Act 2 of this Tuesday night broadcast here from downtown, beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous night. I hope it is gorgeous wherever you are joining us from in Wisconsin or beyond, if you're listening on the stream or the app. Great to have you with me. If you missed hour one, we have a fun question tonight, and it's the AI is everywhere. And I use it myself. When I'm writing stuff and I need to do research, I check with ChatGPT or AI through Google. But the question tonight is it okay for people to use AI to enhance their social media photos on like dating sites or just on social media? I don't really have a problem with that. I know people that do that and they kind of make it obvious. So that's not as big a deal. They're just having fun. But some people want you to think they look like that. But especially on dating sites, it seems a little weird, I think. And you're going to have some explaining to do, probably, when you meet someone who swiped left or swiped right. You didn't really answer the question, Conrad, when I asked you if you're on any dating sites.
I think that's classified information.
That's a yes. Would you do that? Hypothetically. Yeah.
No, because I think that would be just awkward conversation or something. You know, it would be awkward, I think, if you're looking not like the picture you present.
If anything, put a worse picture on there. Then when you meet someone and they start looking at you, they're like, get down on it, you know, they go crazy. I think that's a safer bet. We talked about Happy Gilmore 2 in the first hour. Conrad liked it, didn't love it, even though he's a huge Adam Sandler fan and a fan of the first Happy Gilmore. He also liked Fantastic Four. So we talked about that. It's Vacation, folks. Vacation dropped today in 1983. If you have a favorite line, a favorite character, please share it with us. We'll talk a little bit about that at 7:20 with our next guest, Mike Siegel. Right now, without further ado, let's get back to our current guest. He is joining us over the stream all the way from beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He is the founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest comedian in Oshkosh competition, which is in the mix and winding down. Round four is August 15th at the Oshkosh Arena. You can get tickets at the Oshkosh Arena website or show up and pay cash if you're there before 7 p.m. on August 15th. It sounds like a great time. Before we just talk to you about comedy a little bit, any closing thoughts on the contest?
I do have some closing thoughts on the contest. I also have some thoughts on your AI social media
photos. Oh, please.
I think you're getting on the verge of like catfishing there a bit. You know, if you've ever seen the show Catfish, where, you know, they confront people because they're pretending to be someone that they're not. I mean, you can manipulate your photos enough to kind of catfish someone. Not cool, man. Not cool.
Okay. That's finally, we got a really adamant, and I haven't read through all the text here. I imagine most people agree with you, but like I agree with you. And when is it okay to say, like, are there sites out there where you can just be whoever you want? And I guess if you're not meeting in person, that's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there definitely probably are sites out there that you can be someone you aren't. But for a dating site, you know, you should want to present yourself as authentically as possible. And I think there's a difference between using a filter on a picture and like editing your butt to look better or your cheeks to look or taking the bags out of your eyes. You know,
right.
Those are just things that, you know, are probably not going to be looked on well when you meet that person in person, if you do, if you get that chance.
I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here or anything, Ben, but I did see a profile and someone had the name Gen Biles, and it looked an awful lot like you. Older picture, maybe. I don't know. Good luck with that, though.
Wait, really? That's so funny.
I'm married, I'm married, so I'm not on very many dating sites.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have. I'm also not on any dating sites. I'm also happily married, as you can see behind me. You know, I like to flex and show off my beautiful
that's
wife.
A great photo.
Is
she on any dating sites?
I hope not.
It's a terrible joke. I don't know Ben that well that I can make jokes like
that. She says no. She's not on any dating sites.
All right. I don't mean to pry.
But yeah, that I have had a public, I was a public figure once upon a time in elected office, and there were some trolls that used to come after me. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a Jen Biles out there that was impersonating me. That's right, spot on.
Well, I hope not. And if there is someone, I hope it enhances your comedy competition. So give us a closing thought on the competition, and then I got a couple more questions for you, then we'll let you get on with your evening.
Absolutely. We would love to see you round four on August 15th at the Oshkosh Arena for Oshkosh's Funniest Comedian. And then please, please, please mark your calendar for the finale Saturday, September 13th at the arena with Josh Blue. It is going to be such a fun night, and we want to sell that place out. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of fun, a lot of jokes told. You might see some of the best comedians in the area, and you get to see Josh Blue. So please come support. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, our website, laughfulproductions.com. Otherwise, we'll see you at the Oshkosh Arena. Those are my last thoughts, Pete.
All right, I have one more question, and I can't believe I didn't ask this sooner, especially because I know we have a lot of Wisconsinites listening. Are there beverages? Can people buy a libation or get some food?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, there is both beer, seltzers, wine, spirits, cocktails. And then they also open the 1212 Bar and Grill, which is attached to the Oshkosh Arena, for a fish fry before the show as well.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to come a little early, have an old-fashioned, have some fish, and then come see some comedy, you know, we love that because the more people drink, the funnier we get. So throw down some beers, old-fashions, and come hang out.
You got all the bases covered. That's great. Ben Giles is my guest. Check out the Oshkosh Funniest Comedian Contest. The next round takes place August 15th, at 7 p.m. at the Oshkosh Arena. Tickets available at the Oshkosh Arena website, or you can pay cash in person. But it sounds like it's going to be a great time. And then also keep in mind the date, September 13th, for the absolute finale of this this really cool contest. So who are your favorite comics, Ben?
Growing up, I loved Chris Farley, you know, Wisconsin native. I thought his SNL sketches are so funny, not only funny, but timeless. You know, you can still watch those on YouTube today and get a great laugh. I also loved Robin Williams, not only as a comedian, but a voice actor and an actor in all of his movies. But recently I've been on a Shane Gillis kick with the Tires TV show.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen that. I think he's hilarious. He actually reminds me of one of my friends who I think is hilarious. And his style of humor, very dry, and a lot of animated faces. My wife would cringe if I said Theo Von, but I'm going to say Theo Von. I love listening to him interview people, and he's had some crazy guests on. I mean, he got to interview the president. Like, you imagine a stand-up comedian in the 90s interviewing the president?
Yeah.
Like, that's just wild that's where we're at now. I really like watching Theo, even though he is a little out of pocket at times. I don't know. I'm trying to think of others. Jeffrey Asmus, he went to school with me at UW-Madison, and we used to hang out at parties together, you know, before he made it big. He's touring all over the country now. I love watching his content on Facebook and Instagram, and I wish him the best, and I hope he remembers our beer chugging days. Those are probably some of my favorites that I've drawn inspiration from, for sure.
And those of you listening, if you have not seen Shane Gillis, I don't know all of his stuff, but his joke about the Special Olympics is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. So it's worth a Google. And then, Ben, before we let you get out of here, have you seen, what are you binge watching anything you could share? Have you seen any of the summer movies?
I am kicking myself because I still have not seen Superman. My wife just got me hooked on Schitt's Creek. I have been watching Schitt's Creek. We are almost through season one. And we have been binging that. We've been watching it for, I think, 3 days, and we're through season one already. So those are the two biggest ones. But I am so excited to go see Superman. It's just hard when you have a child, a little baby at home. You know, you got to get a babysitter and all of those things. But I'd love to see the Man of Steel on the big screen for sure.
I saw it. It was pretty good. You'll have to come back on after you see it, and we'll have a discussion. And let's get you back on before the final round. It sounds great. And thank you for doing this for the community. And bringing more laughs to the comedy world, especially in Oshkosh. Great stuff, Ben.
Thank you, Pete.
All right. We'll talk soon. That's Ben Giles. Check out the Funniest Comedian in Oshkosh competition happening right now. The next round is August 15th, as I mentioned. Really good stuff. If you want to get in on our question of the night, folks, is it okay, again, let's just be honest. There are truly maybe seven really attractive people in the entire world. The rest of us take up space, and we all want to look better. We work out, we eat right. Everything we do basically is to look better. So tonight's question is it okay for people to use AI to enhance their dating site photos or social media? And we've got here's from the social media. This is our buddy Mike Mercury. Very funny comedian from Madison says, here's what Google's AI says about it. Using AI to enhance social media or dating app photos is a complex issue with both potential benefits and drawbacks. While it can be a way to boost confidence and improve first impressions, it also carries the risk of misrepresentation and privacy concerns. Triple hashtag con. Mike says, I agree with their assessment and as such am going to stop thinking altogether and will just rely on AI to tell me what's up. I don't think you could go wrong with that, Mike. And if you're lacking a few jokes, if you need some new material, use AI for that too. Who's going to know? Thank you, buddy. Ross from Crawford County, he's in the 608, says, should a person use AI to enhance their social media presence? It's a hard question for a guy my age. I don't know if it would ultimately make any difference. I think people are still able to discern the reality from the unreality that AI can lead us to. If a person falls for AI enhancement, then that's the person that obviously you want if you're going to use AI to enhance your social media. So be careful what you ask for. Boy, that's a conundrum. That's interesting. If you make yourself look better, you're going to attract the kind of person who's going to fall for that. Sounds like a great life to me. Well done, Ross. John Murray in the 608s in Madison says, we all know that adding AI to convey your deets will change the game. I want the derelict on the other end to shine through with all their true color. Of course, everyone embellishes a bit, and that is enough BS to deal with. Sounds like John's kind of in the middle there. He's just kind of all around annoyed by the question. Thank you, John. Tom from New Berlin says, vacation. When Chevy Chase and John Candy interact and Candy telling Griswold the park is closed. Great scene. Totally agree with you, Tom. Tom's on the 414. John Candy has such a small part, but it's so great. Bridget in the 818 says, sure, why not? AI is here to stay. And Bridget, I assume is a woman, is telling us it's okay to enhance our dating site profiles. So there you go, Con.
Well, looks like I'm going on ChatGPT tonight.
Open up your profile and get to it, man. You're not getting any younger. Get yourself out there.
I'm gonna ask the ChatGPT to put biceps on my biceps.
Oh, wow. You don't want to intimidate anybody. You're going to look like Chris Casper then. All right. So Mike Siegel is coming up, folks. Be part of the show. Text us. Let us know what your answer is to our question of the night. And what else did we cover? I felt like we Digger's Hotline. Yeah, we did Digger's Hotline. It's not a hotline for guys who just like to dig.
Yep.
Okay. I'm one of those guys. I got to be honest. All right. Mike Siegel is coming up next, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Breaks my heart. Come with
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another?
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last year, we reported that the Georgia State Board of Elections passed new rules aimed at disrupting or overturning the 2024 presidential election. One of those rules, allowing members of county election boards to do their own investigation before certifying an election, was just unanimously struck down. In July and August 2024, the Georgia State Board of Elections laid the groundwork for obstructing or overturning the presidential election. One element granted individual members of county election boards the power to do a reasonable inquiry of election results prior to certifying, potentially sowing chaos and delaying the outcome. The effort by three state election board members, all outspoken Trump loyalists, was part of an apparent scheme in swing states to use the specter of voting by non-citizens as a pretext. The Georgia Supreme Court refused to hear a GOP appeal of a stay of the rules before the election. Trump won the election in Georgia, so unsurprisingly, no objections to certification materialized. June 11th, the Georgia Supreme Court struck down four of the rules. Another case contesting the reasonable inquiry rule was decided by the Georgia Appeals Court July 2nd. The court unanimously concluded that election officials could voice concerns about an election to state authorities, but, quote, have a mandatory duty to certify all election results, unquote. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. I guess I shouldn't have made an assumption that Bridget is a woman. Because remember, I did that with Chris, but I've not ever met a guy named Bridget. But Chris with a K, I went woman. I was corrected twice. Now I'll never get it wrong again. So Bridget, if you are a man, a big burly man like Chris Casper.
Fist fight's coming.
Every time I mention Casper's name, he's probably like, oh, man. Next time he's in Madison, I'm going to kneecap him. All right. So this is exciting, folks. It is 7:20. As promised, my next guest, a very funny guy, a comedian and host in the past. He's hosted such shows as If Walls Could Talk, What You Get for the Money, TBS's Movie Break. He's also the host of his own podcast, a very interesting, insightful, and funny podcast, Travel Tales. He joins us now over the stream, Mike Siegel. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Where are you right now?
I am in the beautiful capital of our 49th state, Alaska, Juneau.
No, I don't. And that's why I'm asking.
if you hear a strange clanging noise,
oh, no.
It's because it is an old school radiator in this hotel that
sweet.
I think was built in the Roosevelt administration. And by that, I mean Teddy Roosevelt.
So wait, are you on a ship? You're not on a ship then. You're actually...
No. I'm in my hotel. I just got off one.
Gotcha.
And I'm spending the night here. And tomorrow I got to fly to San Francisco to get on another ship. And
oh
then I'm
gosh.
Coming back up here. And then I'm doing about five different ships in 3 weeks. And it's a lot, but hey, bills got to be paid, Pete. You know how it goes.
I do know how it goes. So you've done a lot of these ships, Mike, and I know you kind of have a love-hate relationship with them. Like as you said, they pay the bills. You do get to, you like to travel. I don't know if you go anywhere exotic on the ships or not. It sounds like sometimes you do, but what are the best things about working cruise ships and the worst things?
Well, like you said, I have gotten to go to some amazing places that I wouldn't have made it to before, or it would have been very expensive, like Antarctica. I've been there.
Wow.
And that one was a really, you know, high-end cruise. So it was less than, and it's a trip. Tip for anybody who does an Antarctica cruise: if your ship is over 450 passengers, you can't get off it. So you can watch it from the, and it is incredible, but you can't get off. So I was in a smaller, really kind of high-end luxury one, and we got to take little Zodiac boats to the beachhead, and we still got to walk around with penguins walking all around us, and that was pretty incredible.
Wow.
So that's one too. And I just got back earlier this year. I was in South America, and I got to, and they let me off. I saw the date. I went, wait a minute, because it was dropping me off in Rio de Janeiro. And I said, I think that's around like Mardi Gras time. And it was like 2 days before Fat Tuesday. So I said, you know what? And this is the thing. If I just say, hey, look, can I fly back, you know, 4 days later, as long as it's from the same airport, they don't really care. They have to cover my travel. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I just got a hotel. I think I got the last hotel room available in Copacabana Beach, and because I always wanted to see it. So little things like that, I try to maximize the travel.
I thought you were going to say you went on a ship to South America and kept going south, and then you went to the South Pole. Like, and then I thought it'd be cool if you branded yourself. This is like the Poles comedian. He's got all these great jokes about the North and South Pole.
Well, at Antarctica, you got to get the ship in. It's either you get it in Chile or Ushuaia, Argentina, which is like the bottom of South America. Jeez. And you're only like visiting a little, that arm that's closest to it. Antarctica is huge, so you're only seeing a little piece of it. But yeah, it's pretty great. And then you got to cross the Drake Passage, which is crazy. That was like, they say you either get the Drake Lake or the Drake Shake. And the lake is like, you know, a smooth ride because it's about, I don't know, 4 days at sea or something like that.
Okay.
And, but I got the lake going down and the shake coming back up. And it was like 4 or 5 days of just huge waves, like crashing over the, over the window and stuff like that.
When you're up there, when you're in the North Pole and you said you were looking at penguins and all
that. Well, that was the South.
Oh, South Pole. Pete. I'm sorry.
Antarctica.
Oh,
come
Antarctica.
On. Get a globe, Pete.
I thought you meant the globe. I thought you meant the main Arctica, not that subpar, ridiculous South. No, but
not
like
the anti-Arctica.
How cold was it? Like, seriously, like, how cold were you? You're on a boat.
It wasn't. Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, it's windy on deck. I mean, it's crazy windy anytime you're at sea.
Yeah.
But there, you know, you have to go in their summer, which is our winter. So I think I was there in like January, February. And honestly, then we had a couple of days that when we went ashore one day, there's like a Chilean naval base down there that we went to. Oh, and it was sunny and like in the probably 50s. But, you know, it does get cold, you know, Wisconsin cold, not crazy. We're not going to the actual pole. I mean, right. To go to the actual South Pole is super hard and super expensive. And you got to fly in. I mean, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, with that attitude. So how was Mardi Gras, Mike?
The carnival was pretty crazy, and it's one of those things where I've been to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and that was in my 20s, and I've been to things like Oktoberfest in Munich and stuff like that. But you know, it's one of those events that I went there, and now I'm a man of a certain age, Pete, as you are. I think you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was like, this would have been a lot more fun in my 20s and not when I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe with a group of friends, because I'm just, you know, I'm this older middle-aged guy by myself watching people, you know, dancing half naked in the street. And it's like, okay.
Nobody wants to see a guy over 40 do that or hunched over puking. A 20-year-old, you excuse you, like, oh, that guy's having a great time. But a guy our age is just like, oh, look at that pathetic soul. Mike said,
I always say, I like to blend in wherever I go. And then I realized in 5 seconds on the sidewalk there, I wasn't going to blend in because, like, I was wearing clothes. And them not so much. Them not so much. Three pieces of string is considered an outfit.
Oh, I know.
Mardi Gras.
It's awesome. This is Beach Wabba at Nightlight. Mike Siegel is here. We're going to do the news and come back and talk about the movie Vacation. And I think Mike's probably had a hell gig maybe he can share with us from one of these cruises. It's Beach Wabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Those who evacuated the beach areas of Hawaii are now being allowed to return home as the threat of a tsunami eases on the islands. The warning coming after one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded hit off Russia's Far East coast. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says they're still watching the ocean, however.
We still have not seen any wave activity come past the Big Island. That's important. Until we see what happens on the Big Island and the full wraparound of the islands, we won't feel that we are in a position to start seeing and saying that we're kind of in the clear.
All of the west coast of the U.S. is still under an advisory for waves. Police in New York City investigating a second note left by the office shooter this week. Sources describe it as an apology to his parents in Las Vegas. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announcing that the U.K. will join France in recognizing a Palestinian state at the U.N. General Assembly in September if Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire in Gaza. This is ABC News.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line. They're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and, you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that. But in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a two-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Three Body Problem is moving forward with a two-season cast. The show about a Chinese scientist who inadvertently signals aliens, then discovers they are headed towards Earth and will arrive in a couple decades, was a critic's darling after season one. The scientists band together with a detective to help stave off an existential planetary threat. Claudia Dumit and Ellie DeLange join the cast. Season two of Three Body Problem drops in 2026 on Netflix. Here's a Pete pick. It's an oldie, but a goodie. For whatever reason, I never got around to watching the show Dexter until this past weekend. The Showtime drama thriller about a forensic scientist who is a serial killer, but only kills those he deems deserving, is at times suspenseful, thoughtful, and complex. The show dropped in 2006 and ran for 8 seasons. If you're looking for mystery accompanied by some dismemberment, you have several seasons to binge, and all of them can be streamed at Paramount+. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain here through the day. Our high right around 72 this afternoon. Tonight, rain showers, thunderstorms ending, low in the mid-50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny, high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison Mustard Museum curator Barry Levinson. Then Appleton's Kim Mothy joins to talk Mile of Music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me this Tuesday night back here on the home court after a wonderful week in Madison back at WGBW, making sure Conrad does not get into trouble. Tomorrow night on the show, who do we have, Conrad? I lost my list here for some reason.
Well, we have Matt Miller talk about some of those blockbusters that are going on right now.
Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. We've got Kim Mothy from Appleton talking about Mile of Music.
Yep.
And then who else do we have? I can't find my list here for some reason. We've got the
curator of Mustard Museum.
Oh, I love this. The Mustard Museum in Madison, curator Barry Levinson, no relation to the other Barry Levinson, who is a famous film director. But Barry is great, and he loves mustard. He's coming on to celebrate National Mustard Day. When I was in Madison last week, I had breakfast with my son and my niece at this place, and I saw this really cool building, the National Mustard, I don't know if it's the National Mustard Museum or a more regional mustard museum, but they know they're mustard folks. That's all you need to know. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Hopefully you'll join me tomorrow as well. Right now, let's get back to our guest, Mike Siegel, the very talented comedian and host of the Travel Tales podcast and numerous cable shows. He's had a stellar career. And
stellar.
Now he's in a hotel room. Where are you again, Mike?
Juneau, Alaska.
Yes.
I'm in Juneau. And it's so funny. When you were talking about Vacation, the movie, the Mustard Museum is something Clark Griswold would go out of his way to visit, along with the second largest ball of twine, which is only 3 short hours away, or what, 6 short hours, or whatever it is.
I love when the bartender in the place where they go in Dodge City ignores him. And then Chevy Chase finally says, "Hey, underpants." The guy turns and blows him away.
I shoot him.
Oh, that's I'm so okay. Great.
Great. The kid's deaf. Our son is deaf now.
And then he always says, "Oh, what's the difference? It was fun anyway." Let's talk about Vacation, Mike. Today is the 42nd year, right? Anniversary? Dropped in
1983.
Yeah. So where do you rank that, Mike, with some of the better comedies in the 80s, like the John Hughes comedies or Fletch or Caddyshack, Ferris Bueller?
Well, it's another thing that I remember watching the National Lampoon documentary and realized that a handful of these writers pretty much shaped my comedy outlook on everything. I mean, everything that they did, from Animal House into, you know, John Hughes came out of there.
Yeah.
You know, who he wrote Vacation, which was based on a National Lampoon article
that he wrote.
And so that's up there for sure, because it hit me hard too, because I was in high school when that came out, but my family did that trip, you know, from Chicago to California to go to Disneyland. And we stopped at everything. I think we stopped at the Petrified Forest. We did the London Bridge in Arizona. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
It's in Lake Havasu City.
Okay.
And look that up. Yeah. That's a replica of the London Bridge, or it's an actual piece of the London Bridge. I don't know how it worked, but it's, yeah, some guy brought it out to Lake Havasu in the 70s, and it's still there. You could go see it. But the Petrified Forest and all that, I remember, you know, it was the old Route 66 thing through St. Louis and, you know, Oklahoma City and Amarillo and all that. So, yeah, I remember doing it. And that was my first trip to the West Coast ever. And that was it was pretty mind blowing to see what I was watching on TV. You know, to those of us from the Midwest, Pete, you know, like a desert is completely foreign. Mountains were a really big deal.
Yeah.
And so to see those mountains and like, wow, I couldn't believe it. You know, this looks like Charlie's Angels.
It also, in a weird way, gave me an appreciation for the Midwest, because especially when you fly and you see how, like, I love the desert now. I didn't always, and mountains and the ocean and all that. I flip for it. It's great. But I also remember flying back to the Midwest and seeing how green it was and how thinking how cool that was. But you're right, Mike. Vacation, Harold Ramis directed it, another heavyweight from the National Lampoon. And we all took those trips, too, it seems like, out west. And I remember as a kid going, this is terrible, because we camped. We had a pop-up camper.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't campers, but my mom and dad bought a camper after we moved to Wisconsin. We took it out west, and all I remember is sand everywhere. but I look back on it fondly, and we saw Colorado and the Grand Tetons and Old Faithful. It was just those trips are so fun.
Why do you need my address? We'd like to send a mailer.
That whole Brian scene Doyle is Murray. So great. He comes out and he tells him how much the tents are. It's like $45 for three tents. And I think Clark says that's a little steep. And he says, oh, they're very nice tents. And that price, that price includes scenery and wildlife fun.
Like, wildlife fun. And they get to one of them and it's like, you know, the canvas is all collapsed and it's like water and there's a duck swimming in it.
Oh, right. The pool. Yeah.
Yeah, the pool. Oh, yeah. The, yeah, I remember we had an RV too. First of all, we had a motorhome, and then we went from that to a camper. But we didn't take that all the way across. But we used to go down to Florida with it, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from Chicago. That's where we did a lot of the camping thing. But yeah, I couldn't. No desire. Like an RV has just like a certain smell to it. And you're right. Once sand gets in, it's in there forever.
Yeah.
It's never coming out.
Totally.
But no, it was a great trip, and AM radio, Pete,
yeah,
the entire time. And I remember, I pegged the year as either 76, 77, because I remember the song, you know, you go into a different market, your radio would pick up each top 40 station. Cause you know, back then AM, it was either top 40, country, or Jesus. Those were your three options on the radio. So the top 40, I remember we were hearing Dancing Queen by ABBA, Hotel California, Dust in the Wind.
Stairway to Heaven, maybe?
No, the top 40, no, we'd skip. But those three I remember distinctly we would hear every time, like every hour, it seemed, on the hour. And it's just ingrained in my memory.
We had my dad growing up. He's a great dad. We have a great relationship, but I never understood why he didn't like rock and roll music. My dad was raised like with Irish tenors, and he's a singer, and he loves classical music. And we were driving through Provo, Utah. I don't know how we made our way up to Utah, but I said, you know, my mom was like telling us about Provo, and my dad, this is an actual quote, he said, well, any town that plays classical music on an AM radio can't be all that bad. And I'm just in the back seat shaking my head going,
this is going to be a long ride.
Listen to some Kiss or something. do you have a favorite character, Mike, from Vacation?
Well, Chevy has just great lines in that thing. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he does in that thing. You know, real tomato ketchup? when the girl, they're at the farmhouse, and the girl is like stirring the Kool-Aid with her arm. Audrey, can I help you with the Kool-Aid? It just like,
please.
She's got her whole arm in the, please. Just great lines, but I love it. And I can't do the lines because they're all foul, but the when he finally snaps in the rain right. And they're trying to bail and they're in Arizona and they just drop off. They're dead. His dead mother-in-law at his brother-in-law's house. And they want to leave and they're like, we just want to go. He's like, what? You're going to bail out now?
Nobody's leaving.
I can't even do the lines because they're all filthy.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like the when he gets caught with Christie Brinkley in the pool, and Beverly D'Angelo, who was always my like favorite. I loved Beverly D'Angelo as a kid,
gorgeous.
And she says, "Clark, do you like that girl? We swimming naked with her. Do you like that girl?" And he says, "That girl? No, she's ugly.
Oh. She's ugly."
Hey, we have Conrad said he pulled one of those scenes. What scene do you have, Con?
I have both. I have.
Oh.
Well, when it leads to Aunt Edna first meeting her.
Okay.
In the movie, and Clark losing it.
Let's do. Can you play Clark Lewis? You
that's got to be filthy.
Yeah, it's beeped.
Let's do it. Beeps are funny. All right, here's the Clark losing it scene from Vacation in honor of Mike Siegel.
I don't want to be in the car anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to go to Wally World.
Clark, under the circumstances, I wouldn't mind if we just went home. In retrospect, it seems like a pretty bad idea driving out. It's been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's been a real drag, Dad. Maybe we can try it some other time. Wally World's overrated anyway.
What do you think?
I think you're all f***ing in the head. We're 10 hours from the fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our damn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your ass. I gotta be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit.
Dad, you want an aspirin or something?
Don't touch.
Don't touch.
So great. I want to say my favorite scene, and it's hard to pick one, but is I love when they go to pick up the family truckster, and he's with Rusty, and Eugene Levy is the car salesman. And he goes, you didn't order the metallic pea? Metallic pea? No, Antarctic blue. And he's just repeating.
I want my super sport wagon with the optional rally fun pack.
This one beats the hell out of the truckster, but I want to make you happy. Have you
seen? You're taking the tribe cross country. The family truckster is the way to go.
This is the car you should be driving. Mike Siegel is my guest, and we're talking about Vacation. It dropped today, 42 years ago. I can't believe it's that old. But Mike, did you see the remake with Ed Helms? And also, what are your other favorite vacations, if you have any?
I did not see that one with Ed Helms, but I did see the originals. I think they did four, right?
Yeah, or three? Maybe five. There's Vegas, European, Christmas. And did they do one other one?
I can look that up. And you know my theory on comedy sequels, Pete. There's never been a comedy sequel as funny as the first. And if you can name one, you know, we've tried this on a driving game, you know, to pass the time,
right?
Come up with a comedy sequel that's funnier the first, and you just can't.
And it's
some are better, some are good, but most of them are disappointing. So two was bad. European was not good, other than the couple scenes that are funny.
Like, you know, two
constantly
laughs.
Driving around the roundabout, he can't go left but Christmas is a winner.
Christmas is fun.
Vacation is a winner.
Still not as good as the original, I don't think.
No,
but good.
But good. And the other one, it was just out of Vegas. Nah, I think they're just milking it at that point. Which, you know,
and everything
it happens.
Everything they do is for money. But why did the first one have to be remade? Like, why don't you take Ed Helms, who's hilarious, and call it something else and make it a vacation movie? It's not like you can't do that, but it's inevitably forever going to be compared to the first one, and that you just can't do that.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, they can, you know, you can borrow plots. There's always going to be road trip movies with families. I mean, it doesn't have to be Vacation. They don't have to be the Griswolds. They don't have to be, but you know, I mean, it's built in audience. They're trying to, you know, less marketing on their part, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it does kind of taint the original, but I hope people seek out the original first.
Absolutely.
Because it's so great. I mean, you would never get away with some of the jokes too now, like, you know, dragging the carcass of the dog. When you look back on it, like, woo, boy, PETA would be all over you with that.
That one in the scene in St. Louis that Harold Ramis said he's ashamed of, and he wished he wouldn't have put that in just from a racial standpoint. But Mike Siegel's my guest. We're going to do a very short break and come back and talk about his podcast, Travel Tales, and I'm going to ask him where I should go. That's coming up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come together.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Got a few more minutes here before we close out this Tuesday night. My guest is Mike Siegel. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast and has hosted many TV shows and is a touring national stand-up comedian. Mike, let's talk about Travel Tales. Such a great, I mean, you were like kind of in the ground floor with travel podcasts, right?
I've been doing it, since 2011, wow. Amazingly enough. So, I kind of got in early, but now to the, like, you know, everybody has a podcast, so yeah. It's nice that I did get to garner a little bit of a loyal audience while you still could. I wouldn't know how to break through now with a different show. And the thing about travel is it's also a very visual thing, so a lot of people, you know, I would have done a YouTube channel by now or some kind of visual thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I kind of like the art of interviewing and talking to people and kind of long form interviews and things like that, and just kind of getting to know somebody. So, and I think part of it's also after being on stage for so long and being on an actual TV and stuff, you know, it's kind of nice to not have a camera on me sometimes.
Sure. It's nice to so, you started the podcast about traveling in 2011. You didn't actually start traveling till 2016 and you somehow pulled that off. But, what
take it till you make it, Pete.
That's right. If people were going to give a listen, where would they find it? And what episode, Mike, would you have them start with if one jumps out at you?
Oh, boy.
To hook
There's
them?
So many hundreds. It depends on kind of what they're into. We've had a guy recently who climbed made it to Everest. Did the actual wow. top of Everest. We've had a girl who just moved to, you know, she was from the U.S. and Texas and decided, went to London once and decided she wanted to move there and made it happen. And now she's got her own podcast helping people move to abroad. And I'm getting a lot more of that these days, a lot of expats. Because it just seems to be more and more Americans are interested in leaving,
yeah,
or at the very least having a second passport, or just even if it's not permanently, the pandemic taught a lot of people that they could work remotely, and if you can right. work remotely, it's like why not? You know, there's digital nomad visas that a lot of countries have that you can go there. All you have to do is prove you make a certain amount every month, and you could stay for a year or whatever. It's like, hey, maybe nice. I'll go live in Thailand for a year or something. And, you know, again, if you have kids, it's a hard thing. But if you young person in their 20s, if you can make it happen, why not? I mean, that wasn't an option for us sure. back in the day.
Okay, so I have one more question for you. And I talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. I haven't been too many places. I kind of missed my window there. I was in my 20s. I was happy to be seeing America, doing stand-up. And that was all I needed at that point in my life. But what would you tell someone like me or one of my listeners who hasn't really gone anywhere exotic or done much international traveling? Where would you tell them to go if they could only go one place?
Well, I mean, one of the things we always try to do is like make sure people know that it's not as expensive as they think it's going to be. Hmm. We're so used to traveling around America. You know, people would ask me, how do you spend 3 weeks in Asia? How can you afford that? I go, people spend more at a weekend in Vegas, wow. Literally, than I can spend. I can spend 2 weeks in Asia for what really? People spend. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking on a weekend, you could spend $500 a night on a hotel room in Vegas, and you haven't even eaten or gambled or seen okay. a show yet or drank.
Lost the kids' know? College so, funds, yeah.
Absolutely. So it doesn't have to be. So if you have any kind of points, you know, there's whole websites devoted to getting points and miles and utilizing those. But if you've never been anywhere first, I think one thing that really opened my eyes, my first trip was after college. You know, I'd never left the country since before that. And just go to Europe. It's very easy to get around. It's safe. You'll see a bunch of different cultures in a small window of time. And you've heard so much about it, your life, and you've seen it in movies and right, know right. all about it. You never get a true feel until you're there. So it's very easy to get around with the trains and now with the euro, where you're not changing money every country like we used to.
Right.
And it's just easy. So I would go to Europe first and okay. then use that as a jumping point.
That's a great point too. And you can see there are a lot of countries close together like that. It's not like you're yeah. going to New Zealand or yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go halfway around the world. I mean, you just got to hop over the pond and,
right.
You know, and if you can only do one, you know, go to the UK for a little bit.
Sure.
That's not intimidating. There's not a real culture shock and there's no language problem. So any of those are all good.
I just want to hear someone say, freshen your drink, governor. we got a text here, Mike, from Ross in Madison, whose favorite vacation line is, you might have said this before. He says, I don't know why they call it hamburger helper.
Helper.
Does just fine by itself. That's great, Ross. Thank you. Tom from New Berlin says, hilarious. Tom says, thanks, Pete. Great show. Using AI to enhance your profile. It's called a comb over. Oh, that's good, Tom. Thank you. Where are you?
Oh, Mike? I forgot.
Oh, go ahead.
I forgot a great line when Cousin Eddie walks out and he sees the trucks for the first time. He's like, is that you? Ooh, she's a beaut. Love those green walls.
Yeah. And another one you just made me think of when he hands Clark the white shoes. And Eddie right. says, I remember last time you remarked how much you like mine. And Edna starts yelling and Clark shuts the door in her face and just says, I love him, Eddie.
Right.
Mike, so fun. Thank you for making time for the show tonight, even though you're in a hotel room. It's great to wow. talk to you and great to talk vacation and travel tales and all that good stuff. Hope you're well, buddy.
Thank you. No, it's great to talk to you always. It's fun.
Yeah. We'll talk soon on what I like to call the telephone, and we'll catch up without all these people
What
listening.
Is that? Yeah. A what?
We just text.
We can swear then, right? I can do the actual line.
You can swear as much as you want, and I hope you do.
Attaboy.
All right, Mike Siegel, folks. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks,
we'll
Pete.
Be back tomorrow night with Matt Miller, Kim Mothy.
Yep.
And
Barry Levinstein.
I keep closing my window. Barry Levinstein will be here too. All right. Thanks so much, folks, for your text. Thanks to Mike Siegel. Thank you to Ben Giles. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The tsunami warning in Hawaii and the resulting waves not as bad as they could have been.
We haven't had any reports of any large damage, although we've seen that there's been some flooding on the Big Island in the vicinity of the Hilo Seaside Hotel.
Hawaii Emergency Management Director Major General Stephen Logan. The tsunami warning was lifted and a tsunami advisory put in place for Hawaii a short time ago following one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded off the coast of Russia's Far East. Emergency Management Administrator James Sparrows, though, says
the advisory still means that there's energy in the water. So as you return home, still stay off the beach and stay out of the water.
The advisories for the U.S. West Coast could last throughout the day. The Trump administration proposing that a scientific finding that has long been the central basis for action to regulate greenhouse gas emissions be revoked because the findings involve too many regulations that are costing Americans, quote, a lot of money. This is ABC News.